George Harrison thought the track was amazing, but was as unsure as the rest of them about its reception. He said, "I've been told that years ago when Ornette Coleman came along with his new sounds and jazz, everybody thought it was a bit weird. Perhaps we can do that as well, change the scene a bit, start new sounds, new directions." Well, they'd begun to do just that. It would continue through all of their remaining albums. With these weighty matters to concern themselves with, the Beatles reluctantly face a 15-day tour of America. As they're getting ready to leave, reports are coming in about stations banning their music and ceremonial burnings of their records. The tour opened in Chicago on August 12th at the Chicago International Amphitheater. That afternoon, John held a press conference to try and patch things up.
I wasn't knocking it or putting it down. I was just saying it as a fact. And it is true, especially more for England than here. You know, I'm not saying that we're better or greater or comparing us with Jesus Christ as a person or God as a thing or whatever it is. You know, I just said what I said and it was wrong or was taken wrong and now it's all this.
We accept his apology and in the manner in which it was offered. We think it's the least we can do. An offhand remark like this is not only dangerous, but it can be very impressionable on the young folks, and we think that they have made a wise decision, and we accept their apology.
Some element of forgiveness must have been summoned up, as all of the tour dates were sold out, even in Memphis, near the heart of the original trouble. However, Ku Klux Klansmen picket the hall to protest John Lennon's religion remarks, and two firecrackers are thrown at them on stage. They also hold a news conference in Toronto.
John, may I ask you, what is it, in your estimation, that can and does really inspire young people today?
I don't know, honestly. You know, I just know that what we're doing inspires them to a degree, but not to inspire them to do anything else other than enjoy themselves.
Well, what you do excites them and makes them enjoy themselves.
Yeah,
what about inspiring them?
They get inspired by people who talk honestly to them, and not people who take the long way around and talk in riddles. So if they believe us on some things, it's because we can say it like they would think it, because we know we're exactly the same. And we don't pretend to be anything better than we are, you know.
Is there a possibility that the Beatles someday will break up?
Well, everything's possible, you know. There's no answer to that. We obviously are not going to go around holding hands forever. We've got to split up or progress. I mean, we might, you know, it might happen, you know. It's quite possible.
With the Revolver album, are you trying to create trends?
No, I don't think we ever try to establish trends. You know, we try to keep moving forward and do something different. And if in the meantime it starts trends, you know, that's okay. But we never try consciously to start them. Thank you.
Another news conference in Seattle.
Regards to songwriting, have you ever attempted to, or would you attempt to write anything on your own without Paul or with another writer?
Well, I've written many things without Paul before, you know, for years. We've always written together and separately.
What about with, say, another writer?
Another writer I don't need, you know.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. And hello, good evening, and everything. And we'd like to do a song now, which is off one of our LPs, and this is a song which is sung by our guitarist George. It's called If I Needed Someone.
And on August 29th, the Beatles perform what was to be their last live show as a group in San Francisco's Candlestick Park. Brian Epstein knew it was almost certainly the last performance. Feeling despondent, he said to his American public relations agent, Nat Weiss, "What will I do now? What will happen to my life? Should I go back to school and learn something else?" When they returned to London on August 31st, Paul says, "We had a good tour, but it was all very tiring."
I used to be frightened also in the Beatles. I remember many times just sitting outside concert halls being collected by the local police to be taken to, and just thinking, I really don't want to go through with this. You know, we've got enough money, let's take the money and run. And let's go down to Brighton.
George was a little more direct. He said categorically that he would never perform again on stage.
It was sort of a slow process. At first, you know, it was really nice to be booked on some place and know that the people were coming to because we'd had hit records and we started to make a bit of money and they came and we always had new songs to promote and stuff. But when we really got big, it was... We got very bored with it because we had to do, really, you know, we had to do She Loves You and things. And it was not bad at first, but then we, you know, we just got tired of it and we were trapped ourselves because we couldn't really play anything else. We didn't have time to do anything else other than our own songs. And it got all very boring for us. And then the concerts got bigger and bigger.
John summed it up by saying, "We've had enough of performing forever. I can't imagine any reason which would make us do any sort of tour again. We're all really tired. It does nothing for us anymore, which is really unfair to the fans, we know, but we've got to think of ourselves." Ringo said, "No one enjoyed touring. You can't really. Once you've got to manufacture it, it doesn't work."
It was the worst time and the best time in my life. I mean, the best time because we played a lot of good music and we had a lot of good times, and the worst time because it's not, touring is never a pleasure. Where it was like 24 hours a day with no break, with press and people fighting to get into your room, you know, yes. Climbing 25 stories of drain pipes, knocking on your window. I mean, it never stopped, and that wasn't the good part of it. But the shows, I mean, no one ever complained about them. It was just that everything that went around us would have, if we'd have carried on, I personally would have gone insane.
On September 19th, John Lennon flies to Spain to play the part of the soldier Gripweed in How I Won the War, an anti-war film directed by Dick Lester. On September 20th, it's reported that George Harrison is in India studying sitar with Ravi Shankar and taking lessons in yoga. George first met Ravi Shankar in 1965 at a dinner in the home of the man who ran the Asian Music Center in London. He later went to George's house in Esher and gave him a quick sitar lesson and a private concert with the great tabla player Ala Rakar.
It was like remarkable the first time I listened to it, which was a Ravi Shankar album. You know, it is technically the most amazing music ever. But when I listened to the music, even though intellectually I didn't understand it, I felt within myself as though I knew it and just knew it back to front.
On October 14th, it's reported that Paul McCartney is writing the musical score for a Hayley Mills film, Wedlocked, or All in Good Time. The title was later changed to The Family Way.